He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
If the President of the United States were to have a serious conversation with me and say, what can we do? I would tell him things like, we need to make sure we're increasing funding for local law enforcement, and we have to invest in our community groups and community organizations.
I would love to have, Governor Moore call, because I watched him over the weekend trying to explain that Baltimore, what they need is housing. No, they don't need housing. They need to get rid of the criminals. These are hardcore criminals.
To comment. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is pushing back against the president's claims about crime, writing, quote, there is no emergency that warrants the president of the United States federalizing the Illinois National Guard. Donald Trump is attempting to manufacture a crisis. Former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel on CNN.
And my guess is when you look at what he did in D.C., he's not going to actually deal with crime. This is an attempt to get the goods through customs. This is an attempt to deal with cities that are welcoming cities, known as sanctuary cities, and deal with immigration.
New York's Governor Kathy Hochul also disputes Trump's claims, telling ABC News crime is down across New York City and statewide, and that the calls to use military power undermines the work being done. And in Maryland, Governor Wes Moore is responding to Trump's calls for leadership to, quote, clean up Baltimore. The governor there is touting the city's falling violent crime numbers, calling Trump hypocritical.
If you look at the president's budget, it actually cuts funding towards violent intervention groups. It cuts funding towards the bureaus of the FBI and the ATF that are supporting local jurisdictions like Baltimore.
Moore also adding,
it's unconstitutional. It's a direct violation of the 10th Amendment.
But with a swipe of a pen, Mayor Johnson has taken sweeping and symbolic action.
Protecting Chicago will ensure that every Chicagoan knows their rights, that every single family is prepared, and every part of city government is directed to protect the people of Chicago from federal action.
The new executive order urges federal agents in Chicago not to wear masks while on duty. It urges them to wear body cameras and to display their agency, last name, and badge number. Chicago police already follow these rules.
So this executive order makes it emphatically clear that this president is not going to come in and deputize our police department.
The mayor says the order also directs the law department to pursue legal action if federal agents violate people's rights. Aldermen who support the mayor's order say it sends a clear message to the White House.
It's also a statement in history to let people know exactly who we are as a city, what's important to us, and to call out an authoritarian in the White House.
Policy sometimes is unclear. This executive order brings more clarity, brings more assurances to our residents that Chicago police will not be allowed to cooperate with federal authorities. That's a big deal.
After watching those leaders and listening to their explanations about why they don't want help cleaning up their cities of crime, do they understand who they are? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Romans 13, of which I built this podcast on, doesn't just apply to you who wear the badge. It applies to all leaders. Because those elected officials that we just listened to talk against the top elected official, they are subject to not him, but to God. And I do not understand how you believe doing your job to the fullest of your ability, as it says in your oaths of office, and to the best of your ability, it says in some oaths of office. And first and foremost, you are to enforce the law. Why? Because every person is subject to governing authorities. When you go down to verse 2, it says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. What are the authorities for? To pass judgment. In the United States of America, we have separation of powers. We have been privileged to live in a country where we have three types of branches of government. All you who wear the badge know this. And you may be asking yourself, well, what does this have to do with me wearing the badge? Well, here's the other thing. If you notice that's in there, one of the executive orders that came out from one of these leaders in Chicago is my authority figures, my officers won't work with any of these. And I implore all these other officers who are about to come into my city or not come into my city not to wear masks and not to do all these things. I, me, command you. Well, number one, you don't have authority over them to say that. And your executive order that you're trying to cover to incur because you're protecting the people and the rights of the people of Chicago doesn't make sense. Because you're going to put those subjects of authority in danger. Because you're deciding that you don't want the help. That somehow you believe the numbers that you throw out there in these different cities. And if you notice, all three of these leaders do the same type of thing. They try to lessen the fact that their cities have high crime rates and that they could use the help. And this is coming from someone who watched what the federal government brings when it comes to helping you solve crimes. When we had the riots in the city of Kenosha, when the federal government came, we took that help. We asked for that help. Matter of fact, it was kind of funny. When I was working with the ATF guys, I had worked here and there, but not as closely as I did during the riots. And I said to those guys, I said, hey, I'm assigned to you. I remember saying that the one day. I'm assigned to you. And they're like, no, you're not. We're assigned to you. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I'll put it to you this way. Do you want my help? I kind of looked at him weird, like, well, yeah, I want your help. Okay, we'll help you. And I joked around. I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you're asking me if you could help me? I'm not here assigned to you. Because that was my assignment, right? Work with the ATF. And I remember the head guy at the time, he's like, no, do you want my help? Well, yeah. Well, then we'll help you. I started laughing. I said, well, you guys are like vampires, right? You can't enter. So don't give permission to anybody to enter your house, especially to the vampires. Look, I joke because I've worked with these guys. I work with the federal government. Now, you hear these leaders say, oh, well, we do too, and we cooperate, and we can. You don't, though. Because if you catch something that's said in there, the former Chicago mayor says, wow, he's, you know, President Trump's just upset because, you know, we're, you know, these are sanctuary cities. Well, what does that mean? You think about it, you're using a biblical term, sanctuary city, right? As if though, you know, it's like ghoul. Oh, if you come here, you can't touch us. You can't touch. That in and of itself is going against the governing authorities of the United States. You decide that you're going to, quote, protect criminals because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're protecting people who have broken a law. And it goes beyond that. You're putting your own citizens in danger, calling those same kind of people, those passer-throughs into your area, and you're putting the rest of the people in danger. And now when you're offered the help, you say, no, you don't want to, because you decided that you're going to do it on your own. Though you fully realize that your job is supposed to be to protect the people. Your number one responsibility is to protect the people and their money and their streets and their things. It's not for you to decide, but because we're on our separate forms of government, and because, you know, cities and counties and all of them have individual jurisdiction, I get it. I don't disagree with a totalitarian coming in, you know, guns a-blazing and doing all they can, because realistically, I understand that the federal government, if it's sent into a city, unless it's asked to assist, can only protect federal assets unless they're doing their own jobs. But now you're going to say that you don't want the help getting your city the help that it needs. You'll admit that you're shorthanded. You'll throw your guys under the bus. You'll say, my guys aren't going to work with them. And if they do work with them, I want this, I want that, I want all of these things. And we should have more social services. Yeah, right. Tell me in there where it says social services. And you guys who are wearing a badge, I feel bad for you guys, because I had just the opposite effect. I had a governor who was resistant to send us help, but after he was prompted through a couple different routes, the help came. And then the president sent the rest of what we needed there. And because of that reason, crime during that time was just about nil. Now, things happened on the street, and some of you may have heard about a shooting that happened. Yeah, circumstances, you can't control individuals, but I'll tell you what, if they wouldn't have been there giving us the help we need, it would have been a much, much different picture. Did it solve all problems? Of course not. People are still sinful. But when leaders deny helping their people and throwing, to me, it's throwing you guys under the bus. I remember hearing a story from a person who worked for one of the federal agencies. I won't get into details because it's not right, but he worked for a federal agency, told me straight out, the city that he had come from, the mayor of that city told his guys, you will not help them, told the police department and the fire department. Those of you who may listen, you may know exactly, you may be one of those guys. He said when those guys walked out, those local cops would walk out of their building. His building was right across the street. He said he'd see them and they'd walk with their heads down. You don't think those guys with the badge wanted to back their brothers and sisters on the other side who were feds? Of course they did. Of course they did. And he knew that. But that leader, through his men and women who wear the badge under the bus, including the firemen, that leader told me I had to go outside to the surrounding cities and go ask the surrounding city fire departments if they'd come in and help us if our building started on fire. And a couple of them agreed. That's insane. It's not quite to that extreme here, but when you look at the cities that are mentioned and you listen to this clip and you listen to this governor try to stand all tough against the executive branch of the government, again, I'm not saying that you should not have a right to control your city. And I do understand that at times they do work with them. I get all of that. But now we're in a point in our country where the federal government is trying to enforce its share and protect our borders. And this is not about whether these people are good people, bad people, or whether they broke the law. No one says anything about anyone when they throw somebody in jail, they separate a family for a guy burglarizing a store. We'll throw him in jail for 15 years. No one says a word. Community leaders and such will say, oh, you better let the guy out. No, he'll just break in again. So you who wear the badge, you're getting thrown under the bus. And that's wrong. And that's absolutely wrong. And you say, Gonzo, what am I supposed to do? I can't tell you what to do. I wish it was an easy solution. But I can tell you this. It's a crazy idea to say, I don't want help because I just don't like the person giving me the help. You have to set all that aside. Because what's happening in your cities is wrong. And you are not punishing evil. If you're going to be given help, and here's the real reason. Politically, they don't want the help because it'll prove how if you just crack down and if you just enforce the law, just as the Bible is saying here, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. That's exactly it. Enforce the law, incur judgment, do not bear the sword in vain, execute wrath when necessary, throw people in prison, God forbid having to take their life, but if necessary, it would happen. But by doing what you're doing, it's wrong. And more to the point, you're throwing your people who are enforcing the law, you're putting them in a predicament of a no-win situation. What do you want them to do? Fight the people who are coming to help them? That would make no sense. And if that's the case, then those government authorities have to go. Now, I can tell you this. Those of you who work for these cities and those of you who have this issue, take a look at this. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing to the sight of God, our Savior. Enforcing the law, living a peaceful life by enforcing the law, passing judgment, doing those ideals that you were set to do, not feeding the poor, not trying to win over souls. That's not your job. That's God's job. That's the church's job. That could be a whole nother episode for a whole nother time. But having those under your authority go against, or at the very least hold back from enforcing the law because you, leader, don't like the person who's the top executive in the United States of America is pathetic. And you should be warned. And I felt moved enough to like, who is this guy? Who is Brian Gonzalez? Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be anybody or do anything. I don't even know any of those leaders or any leader for that matter will see this. But if you do or hear this, but if you do know this, leaders who have gone against what God wants are usually dealt with in a lot of ways. If you don't believe me, look at Adolf Hitler. Look at Pol Pot. Look at some of these leaders around the world and throughout history who have been dealt with harshly. And you say, oh, you've gone too far. That's a road too far. No, it isn't a road too far. There's nothing peaceful about dictators. There's nothing peaceful about killing innocent people. So they're dealt with. Romans 13 doesn't give you carte blanche power to do whatever you want, and neither do these other stories that I'm going to share real fast in the Bible. And again, those of you who are listening to this who are wearing the badge, I pray for you. Because again, I was in a situation where I didn't have to deal with all that, and you are. Now understand, you're doing your work unto God. First and foremost, He placed you under the authority of these particular leaders, yes. But there is nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I can't do this leadership anymore. And going on to something else. And I know it's not easy. I can't even imagine having to pick up my family and go somewhere else. But if you're stuck in that dilemma, and you're wondering what you should do, I'll give you permission. You can do that. What you can't do is go against what you're told, because you're not then going against what you're told. You're going against how the Lord puts a structure of authority in place. Now, unless that authority is having you do something that is completely off the wall, and maybe that is completely off the wall, maybe not helping the feds is completely off the wall. But I can tell you this from that leader who told me about those guys that didn't help them. Didn't sound to me like they got any help. Now, maybe that's an individual decision. Maybe that's something, God forbid, you who wear the badge and are doing that job in those cities, maybe you'll have to make that decision. I know I have some listeners in some of those cities that were talked about. I won't call you out, but I'll tell you this. Brothers, sisters, I'm praying for you. And I would say, pray for your leaders that they're given better wisdom. But most of all, pray for yourselves and do it unto God. But let's continue here. Just a few warnings for those leaders. If you can't see the title, if you're not watching this, you're listening to this on podcast, Samuel, in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, the title of this particular Bible I'm using says, the Lord rejects Saul as king. Why? Samuel at verse 14 tells Saul, I am the one, Lord, sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. So listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death. Men and women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. Notice what's happening in this passage. Some of you may be like, oh, that's just, oh my goodness, that's just, yeah, don't try to use your reasoning with God's. Does it sound cruel? Does it sound bad? Does it sound, yep, to human ears and a human sense of understanding, it does. But if you realize who the Amalekites were and how bad they really were, and obviously Saul and all of them did, you would think better than to pass judgment. But that's for another time. Let's continue. So Saul does what he wants. I'll skip down verse 4. He says, now, watch this. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites, verse 7, all the way from Havilah to Shur, probably pronouncing those names wrong, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took King Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Notice what it says. Saul, he gives the command, and his army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, fat calves and the lambs and everything that was good. Good to what? Pleasing to the eye, right? Pleasing to him. Ah, yeah. These they were unwilling to destroy completely because everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. And nobody says destroy the weak stuff. He said destroy it all. Verse 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord that night. Verse 12, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Damel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. This dude's full of himself. You know, I'll do what God says, but I'm going to kind of do it my way, right? I really don't want to do it that way, so I'm going to do it this way. Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, kill them all. Yeah, that's fine. I don't really need that. Why pay attention, right? Sound familiar? When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord blesses you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions." Notice right away, meet Samuel. "Hey, man, I did what you needed to do." Samuel, of course, knows. God told him. Verse 14, "But Samuel said, 'What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle? You never had these things here before. Now all of a sudden I'm back and you got sheep and cattle. What's this all about?'" Now watch what he does. Typical weak leader. Exactly what you see going on. Maybe not exactly, but to the point. "Let's throw my men who I command under the bus. Let's put them in an awkward position." Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." Throwing his men under the bus. Now Samuel's ticked. "Enough, Saul," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." Bet you Saul swallowed hard. "Okay, tell me. Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why," verse 19, "did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" This is the point. You were once a nobody. You were once a alderman somewhere. You were once someone running for school board. You were once somebody who showed leadership ability. You were once somebody in your family's company. You were once small. You were once a nobody. And God appointed you to a position. He made sure that you got elected to these positions because, you know, there was something about your leadership that maybe he could use. And you decided that you know what's best for your city by not enforcing the law. You decided that, yeah, okay, some laws can be enforced. Crime can go down here and there. And then I got this and I got that and I built this. Notice. And all of a sudden the heat gets turned up. Well, it's not my guys out there doing it. I told my guys not to do that. But if my guys are doing it, right? Boy, did I see that out of our governor. Wow, you know, the police, they should have, you know, quick, as soon as the heat's turned up, quick to throw their guys under the bus. But God put you in that position. This is what I'm saying. Now watch, verse 20, "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission. The Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. Nobody said to bring him back. He decided to bring him back. The soldiers," he does it again, throws his men under a bus. "The soldiers," verse 21, "took sheep and cattle from the plunder. The best was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." Notice. In order to sacrifice them to you, the Lord your God at Gilgal. Really? Tell me back when we read what we read, did he say anything about sacrificing to him? He didn't. Kill them all. Kill everything. Leave nothing. You see, when leaders decide to take on themselves and that they know better attitude than accepting help from another king. And in this case, it's not a king, it's the president of the United States, and he's offering to help protect their people because their cities are a mess. And if you notice what some of these leaders do, oh, well, come walk around in my city. Come look and see. Come look and see. They're quick to brag, just like some that, wow, yeah, you know, I mean, take a look. I got this program and I got that program and I did this and I did that. Look, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? I am doing that. I am enforcing the law. I am doing the thing. I am taking care of my people. I do, see? Well, really? Verse 22, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? As much as in obeying the Lord? Big question mark. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. You might as well call up demons. You might as well perform magic. You might as well call upon the gods of wherever you decide to divinate something. You might as well have done that. Divination and arrogance, like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected, verse 23 continues, the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You leaders who are doing this whole act, trying to impress all these little clapping seals that are around you, including a couple of those at the end, those aldermen, the little minions that they have. You ever notice that every one of these, you know, goofy leaders have a worm tongue? Those of you who are Lord of the Ring fans. And again, where does this leave your soldiers? Where does it leave those who are wearing the badge? You may not wear a badge on your chest, but you work for the executive branch of the government. You are to execute laws and do what you're supposed to do, not hold back because you decided that some laws are good and some laws are bad and some evil is evil, good, good, evil, whatever the case may be. Ah, oh, they're working families. Ah, oh, they're doing all they, yeah. In the meantime, they're getting out on bond. They're killing people. They're because they don't care. Is it every one of them? Nope, but they're still here. Why didn't you do something legal? If you went to their country, it'd be the same thing. They wouldn't tolerate it. Nor would they tolerate this kind of poor leadership. Look, be happy we live in a country where we're civil enough to have elections. I watch some of the protesters and in some of the aldermen in some of these cities are speaking out going, hey, we could use the help. And really, the sheriff of a couple of these counties should step in and say, you know what? I'm going to call for the help. And if they do that, that's what should happen. They can overrule these goofy mayors and even the governor. They can step in and say, yeah, we want the help. Come on in. Give us the help. It's our county. It still doesn't leave the people, the men and women who wear the badge in a good position. For the cities. That's why I say, first and foremost, pray. If you work for them, remember you working for the Lord. Let him move your heart as to what you need to do next. Some of you are in those departments and on those departments to be a light. Maybe words come to you because you're in there. You understand better, even than I could or anybody else listening. And those of you who are not in those positions, pray it never happens to you and pray for your brothers and sisters in blue who are going through this. And you guys who are the ICE agents, the DEA agents, ATF agents, some of you guys I worked with personally, the marshals. Hey guys, gals, I get it. I heard some of you, talk to a lot of you. Pray for you. Stay strong. Keep doing your job, because that's what you're supposed to do. You can't do anything about the higher-ups. You have no control over that. You can't do anything about these crazy leaders that aren't allowing this to happen. But you can do your job. And know that if you're doing your job to the best of your ability, that you're doing your job not for yourself, not for the bosses that you work for, but that you're working for the Lord, that you're ministers of God for good. That you have been given a special place in a position of authority that no one else can understand. Cops to people in this country, no one is going to understand you. Your own family gets a taste of it, gets it, but never is anyone going to get it as much as you who work the job. Your family members are in it with you, so they're backing you 110%. And if they're not, I pray that they do, because I'm sure this ain't easy. Having to worry about wearing masks and all those things, you guys keep doing your job. Keep doing your job. You're doing the right thing. I just got done telling a newly elected leader, they can't say anything to you if you're locking up bad guys. And if you're being attacked by the opposition, if they're coming after you, then you're right on target. If the devil is giving you what you want and just letting you go about your business, you're probably not doing something right. I tell people all the time, I tell especially Christians, if you don't have some dents in your armor, if your shield isn't having to be pounded out every day, if you're not walking around with scars, then you're doing something wrong. Get in the fight. And those leaders who are out there, I hope this story, that is a historical story in the Bible, makes you think. You believe you're doing, quote, the right thing. I'm telling you, not allowing or allowing evil to continue in your cities when you're being handed a hand of help. You'll stay in power. You'll do what you'll need to do. And the city will appreciate you for protecting them, because that's what you are to do. First and foremost, enforce the laws. I pray for you that you listen, but if not, there are going to be consequences. And you probably won't be reelected again. And you'll probably have more and more and more people who do not like you. I do wish no harm upon you, because I believe some of you may be doing it in what you feel you should. But I'm telling you, not to allow evil is just ridiculous. They're offering to help clean up your town and protect your citizens. That should be your priority. Let the churches take care of the poor. Let the churches and God take care of the spirit of people. You're not going to change that, but you can protect them of what you're supposed to do. And for those of you who are wearing the badge, I know this show wasn't completely about you, but you too keep doing your job. And I've said it every show, and I will say it from every show from now on. If you want to be the best minister of the badge that you can be, because that's your title, then you become a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Sorry, it took me a long time to get this episode in, but I hope you enjoy it. And thank you again for listening to Ministry of the Badge.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.